Bibleline, Bibleline. Hear God's word on Bibleline. Hear God's truth on Bibleline.
Welcome to Bibleline with Dr. Ralph Yankee Arnold, pastor of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, clearly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and the internet. Your regular prayers and monthly support make it possible for Bibleline to continue on the air. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-576-3771. Online donations may be made by clicking on the donations link on the BibleLineMinistries.org homepage. We pray that you will enjoy our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ and that today's concluding message of this teaching will be a blessing to you and your family.
Look what it says in verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out his roots and so forth. He comes, he still is able to survive. The leaves are still green. In other words, a person who's still strong in the Lord. Regardless of the troubles that come, you're to maintain a certain amount of faithfulness, not be moved, stay strong in the Lord. And then look in verse 9. The heart, the old man, your old sinful nature is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, and who can know it? In other words, you never know because it deceives what it's going to do next and how it's going to lie to you, deceive you, how it wants to destroy you. So where I have in your notes there under Jeremiah chapter 17, we should fear the heart of man. If there's anything you should fear, is the heart of man, that old nature you have. Because you never know at what moment he's going to jump up and get a hold of you and cause you to be so afraid. And because of that fear, you're going to say or do something you wish you hadn't have done. So out from that little note, I put, the old man may deceive me. The old man may deceive me. Remember, that's your flesh. He's going to lie to you, deceive you. That old man you have is just like the devil living with you. It's like walking around all day long with the devil living inside of you. Because you have an old sinful nature that's exactly like the devil's nature. So you can't blame everything on the devil. You have an old sinful nature that's corrupt, that's sinful, that's wicked, desperate, living inside of you. And he'll tell you anything you want to hear. And he'll lead you astray. So if there's anything that I fear, I fear my old man. Because I may not keep him subdued well enough. And you'd be surprised how he can jump up and get a hold of you. Turn in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah 5. And notice there in verse 22. Now we know, everybody here probably has heard of a guy named Al Gore. Anybody ever heard of Al Gore? He invented the internet, he says. And he's also a very strong proponent of global warming. You've heard that, right? And convincing just about the whole world, except Donald Trump. They forgot to get Donald Trump to believe that. But anyway, what I want you to see here in verse 21, it says, now hear this, O foolish people, and without understanding. But now look in verse 22. Fear ye not me? You're not afraid of me? He says, saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed, get this, the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree? God forgot about global warming. He says, place the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. In other words, it seems like God has a boundary or a limit to how far the water can come up on the beach. I mean, wouldn't you say that? Who's in charge of this earth anyway? So therefore, I'm not convinced that Al Gore's right. or the global warming? Isn't it true that down the road, and maybe not too far into the future, God is going to totally destroy this whole earth? And it's going to be burnt with fire? Wonder what he's going to do then with this global warming. It's going to get real warm. Really, really warm. Now look at verse 23. He said, but this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. In other words, this in verse 23 is worse than if the water could overflow. And there was global warming, because what's the greatest crisis facing the world? Global warming. No. It's sinful, wicked people. That's the biggest problem in the world today. It's because God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wouldn't it have been totally different if we'd have won the world to Christ? If we did make a difference and taught all nations the truth, you know, if we had preached the way we should have and reached the ones that we should have reached, you know, we wouldn't have a problem today with the Muslims if we had gone to those nations and won them to Christ. Maybe it could have been totally different. But we may face the consequences for our lack of obedience in every area. Because I believe God has given us a command. Do you think for a moment, if you have an atheist over here in America, and he probably is a bank president, or a great lawyer, maybe even a politician, do you think God loves Bernie Sanders more than he loves the Muslims? Who does he love the most? The Lord so loved the world. Even though I want the nation to protect our rights and liberty, I still love those people that are in darkness and maybe have never or will never hear the truth. And I think in their heart, their mind, there are some that are probably really hungry and wish that somebody could tell them the truth. And wouldn't it be great if God's people could have a great spiritual revival in this country that could affect the whole world? I believe that during the tribulation period, there'll be some revivals. It's going to scare people half to death. To think for a moment of the people that are going to be here and the two prophets and all the miracles that they're going to be able to do. And the Bible says multitude of people from every nation and every language will believe on the Lord during the tribulation period. I almost wish I could be a part of that. I told you one time that I had this terrible dream. It was a terrible dream. It was up here in Macon, Georgia. And Betty's dad didn't fill my mind with so much of this stuff. And I couldn't even sleep at night without dreaming and thinking about stuff. And so I went to bed and I started dreaming. And I dreamed and it was in color. I mean, the sound was stereo. And I mean, there was bombs going off. And I mean, people shooting at each other and people running and screaming. And I mean, it was so real. I thought, I'm actually there. And I realized, these people, this is in the tribulation period. And I'm dreaming that I'm in the tribulation. And then I started crying. And I don't know how loud I got. I don't know for sure, because I don't remember that. I just remember Betty trying to wake me up, because I was dreaming and I was in the tribulation period and I was one of the witnesses. And then I came to realize, because of my theology, I'm not supposed to be here. What am I doing here? It scared me to death. But that's when theology corrected me even in my dream. So, but it has bothered me ever since. But he makes a statement here. Look in verse 24. Neither say they in your heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, and in his season he reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and get this, your sins have withholden good things from you. Now, is it possible, if we can learn from the Old Testament scriptures, that the things that you harbor in your mind and your thoughts and so forth, that even that you do, is it possible that because of that, it can keep good things from happening to you? See, when I read these verses like that, they scare me to death. And so he says in verse 26, "For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men." Now we'll read the next verse and you see if it's talking about Congress or not. "They are waxen fat. They shine, yea. They overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy, do they not judge?" They judge not the cause. They overpass the deeds of the wicked. Has any of that been taking place? People have been making wrong decisions. And people that are in place of leadership, not seeking to correct the problem, but overlooking things. And we as a nation will pay for the disobedience. I believe that. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 6. And look in verse 16, just right across the page there. And verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths." The old paths, you ought to underline them. Now we have today people that talk about, you know, we're progressive. We're progressing on the upward way. And the last thing we want is to go back to the dark ages and back to those years of long ago. We're moving forward. Well, why keep going down the road if it's the wrong road? It seems like some people ought to be, well, mindful of the things that God says and want to get back to the old paths. Getting back to the old book, the old way. Because if we have digressed from the scriptures, you're not progressing. America is not progressing in the sense that we're becoming better or godly, spiritual. We're going in the wrong direction. You see, when you get away from this book, you're going the wrong way. And I believe that it would be behoove America if they would understand and understand this, that there is rest for your soul when you know you're doing the right thing. And when you're not doing the right thing, that's just like this. I heard this on the news the other day. They were going to have a memorial over in Orlando to honor the people that were slain in the Pulse nightclub. Y'all hear that? And then they came out and says, if you really want to honor those people that died, then let's work together and pass as much protection for the homosexuals, the gay crowd, all of them. And I thought, if that's what you mean by honoring them, I can't honor sin. Sin is still sin. It's still wicked. Now, if it was people who died, leave their sin out of the issue. Because that may have nothing to do with what was done or why it was done. But I'm not going to honor homosexuality. But when you honor that which is wrong and wicked, those things that can destroy our country, I've got a problem with all of that. So he says here, "Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your," and this is so important, "your souls." But they said, we will not. We will not. And there's people who are definitely rebellious. Look at verse 19, where it says, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their," and you ought to underline this, "the fruit of their thoughts." Is how you think important? How you think. God knows your thoughts. Even that is very important. Now look in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. And look in verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. It says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Now, where are a couple of verses that goes right along this same line? Says pretty much the same thing. Proverbs chapter 3, very good. Looked in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses you have seen, you know them, but look at them one more time. Because it has to deal with the thing that will eliminate the fear. Because trouble is going to come. Trouble produces fear. When you don't know how to solve a problem. Now look what he says in Proverbs chapter 3, look in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean on your own understanding. Trust yourself because you're so smart and wise. He says, lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. See, to fear the Lord is to depart from evil. If you don't depart from evil as a way of life, then you don't fear God. And so if you don't fear God, you're going to fear man. And that's what produces a coward. The fear of God will make you a man. The fear of man will make you a coward. Now here, in verse 26 of chapter 1 of Proverbs, he says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your, and you ought to underline it, fear cometh. Because you did not listen to the counseling of God. You did not heed what he has to say. He says in verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh. You see the word cometh in verse 26? And in verse 27, cometh twice. Trouble's coming. Man is born unto trouble. Trouble's coming. If you didn't show up today, guess what's coming tomorrow? You're going to have trouble tomorrow on something. There'll be a problem. And if everything's okay tomorrow, you can expect it's coming down the road. You see, troubles are like arrows that have already been shot. It just hasn't landed yet. So God tells you, study his word. So whenever that trouble comes, you have your shield of faith. And you can resist the fiery darts of the wicked one. But if you're not prepared, he's already told you, trouble's coming. And if you don't prepare, you're going to get hurt. And it's going to make you bitter. And you're going to curse God or curse people and curse trouble. And not realize all you had to do is look in the mirror. There's the fault. Now, we didn't ask to be born into this old world, but here we are. And God says, trouble's coming. And so therefore, all God's children got troubles. Don't think for a moment, nobody knows what I'm going through. Their chances are they do. Somebody else has lived life before you. And according to the word of God, God's already told us, you're going to lose loved ones. Are you the only one? You're going to have financial troubles. Are you the only one? You're going to have people turn against you. Are you the only one? Or do you think that happens probably to everybody? But now let me show you one verse in closing. Look over there in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look in verse 12. In verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. In verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is. See those three words? Those three words. What do you think they mean? I'm the only one. Nobody's ever suffered like me. Have a pity party. Go ahead. But as he says here, he says, such as is common to man. But notice the next three words. God is faithful. He doesn't remove all the problems, and he doesn't remove all the testings and the temptations. He wants to give you the strength and the grace to go through it, not run from it. And some things you can't run from. You can't climb over it. You can't go around it. You've got to go right to the middle of it. Wouldn't it be neat if we could just wave a magic wand and just eliminate the problems? We always have them. But now notice, he says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or permit you to be tempted above that you're able. So if you fall under any of these things, the trials and tribulations, it was your choice. To fail was your choice. You did not have to fail. Because God is faithful and he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It's just sometimes, I just can't bear it anymore. Yes, you can. You just chose not to. And you can fall apart if you want to. But like he says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So he says, I speak as to wise men. Judge you what I say. Can you discern what I'm saying? And so I believe that this might help you a little bit. Look up here. All God's children got troubles. But all God's children go to heaven when they die. Right? None of God's children will ever go to hell. I've had somebody say, well, I can't believe in a God that would let his children go to hell. I've got news for you. They won't. Not a one of God's children can ever be lost. Not a one of God's children can ever go to hell. And so, therefore, you know that all of God's children go to heaven. And when we leave this world, the very moment we leave this world, are our troubles over? I think our troubles are over. Now, we may have a few little regrets at the judgment seat of Christ and a little smokestacks and things like that. Be a few little smoke signals, and they might have all meanings for us. Might be a big old bonfire, and but whatever. But you'll be in heaven. You're going to have a new body, no sinful nature. And in heaven, everybody's going to love each other. Isn't that going to be good? Everybody love each other. But look up here. This hand represents you and me. The Bible says that we all have sin on us. My wallet representing sin. We have all sinned against God. And because we've sinned against God, God says according to the law, the penalty is death. So since we've all sinned, we're all condemned. And because of that, God says you can't go to heaven because of the sin. Because God don't want any sin in heaven. Heaven is a perfect place, and you and I are not. But how can we get rid of our sin? Well, we have to die and pay for it. But that's eternal separation from God. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord God in the flesh. He came into the world because he loves us. Hates our sin because our sin separates us from him. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, didn't have to die. So he took all the sin of all the world, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead. And he said that if we would believe he did it for us, he would put this payment to our account, and we get to go to heaven on what Jesus Christ did for us. Eternal life is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And the only thing we have to do to go to heaven, remember, a man going to hell is the biggest problem the lost man has. You can help him solve all the other problems, but if you don't solve this problem, all these other problems inside, it's just temporary. This one, once solved, is permanent for eternity. That's why winning people to Christ, telling people how to have eternal life, how to go to heaven. Because we live in this sinful world, but we're going to die one of these days. But wouldn't it be nice to know that I'm going to be with the Lord for all eternity? That's what salvation is about. Let's pray, shall we? With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, I pray that you would. And if you trust him, God said he'd save you and give you eternal life. And if you're watching by internet, I don't know you and don't know if you've trusted the Lord or you haven't. But I know that you may have a lot of problems, but your biggest problem is that if you died right now, Would you spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell? If you want to go to heaven, you can only go to heaven through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through him. And that means that you must believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, paid for your sin. And if you'll trust him right now, he said he would save you, give you eternal life, and you can know that you're going to heaven. If you've never trusted him, would you do it right now? And right on the screen says, yes, I will trust Christ as my Savior. I pray that you'll do that. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for all you do for us. And Father, we do pray for those that, well, even ourselves and those that are close to us. There's a bond because of our family, our wife, our kids, our grandkids. And Father, those that are close friends that we know and love, Father, we just want the best for each one. And help us to be the example that we should be. We also pray, Lord, for those that are spiritual leaders. We thank you for the spiritual leaders we have in this ministry. For all the deacons, the elders, the teachers, those that head up the various ministries. And Father, those who study extra and deliver a little extra because they want to affect the lives of other people. And so we thank you for all you've done for us. We pray especially for camp that'll be coming up. And Lord, we pray for a good number. We can only do what we can do, but we commit it to you, and we pray that we'll have a good number come to camp. But help us, Father, to get everything ready to go. Do all this within our power. And Father, help us not to worry about anything that we cannot do anything about. But help us to be found faithful to do all that we can with things that we can do. And so we pray for the counselors. We pray for the kids, all the speakers, for safety, and all that we need. And Father, we also want to thank you for this country. We pray, Lord, for those that are in place of leadership. We ask you to protect the president. And Father, for those that are in Congress, the House, and the Senate, and even, Father, our justices, we pray that you would help put a wall around them and protect them. There's people that would love to do them harm. And we ask now your blessings, Father, upon those that are weak, that are not strong in your word. And Father, for those that have drifted and gone astray. Lord, those people that used to be here and are no longer serving you, we pray, Lord, that your will to be done in their life. And Father, we pray that you'll help us to be able to be a blessing and a help to them. We do pray, Lord, for these that are so steeped in various religions. And the religion of Islam is just one. There's many. That people are in darkness, they're blinded. And we, Lord, we want to have a light that can shine where people can see and understand. Bless the YouTube ministry. And for the messages that are there and that are gone out, where people around the world can come to know you as their Savior. We just commit all these things to you. And help us, Lord, just to trust you for the results. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is your invitation to join us for our third Sunday dinner held in the Florida Bible College of Tampa building on the Calvary Community Church campus. The dinner is a family-style covered dish dinner and a great way to showcase your favorite dish and pick up new recipes. Each month, you have the opportunity to invite your family and friends to join us for our Sunday morning service at 10:30 and then stay for our third Sunday dinner immediately following noon. Third Sundays at Calvary Community Church, where you'll be fed spiritually and physically.
Thanks for joining us on Bibleline. If you are in the area, we welcome you to visit us. The address for Calvary Community Church is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. And now, a closing thought from Pastor Arnold.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.